High over the Circle Sea, Rincewind was feeling a bit of an idiot. This happens to everyone sooner or later. For example, in a tavern, someone jogs your elbow, and you turn around quickly and give a mouthful of abuse to, you become slowly aware, the belt buckle of a man who, it turns out, was probably hewn rather than born. Or a little car runs into the back of yours and you rush out to show a bunch of fives to the driver who, it becomes apparent as he goes on unfolding more body like some horrible conjuring trick, must have been sitting on the back seat. Or you might be leading your mutinous colleagues to the captain's cabin and you hammer on the door and he sticks his great head out with a cutlass in either hand and you say, "We're taking over the ship, you scum, and the lads are right with me," and he says, "What lads?" And you suddenly feel a great emptiness behind you and you say, In other words, it's the familiar hot sinking feeling experienced by everyone who has let the waves of their own anger throw them far up on the beach of retribution, leaving them, in the poetic language of the everyday, up shit creek. Rincewind was still angry and humiliated and so forth, but these emotions had died down a bit, and something of his normal character had reasserted itself. It was not very pleased to find itself on a few threads of blue and gold wool high above the phosphorescent waves. He'd been heading for Ankh-Morpork. He tried to remember why. Of course, it was where it had all started. Perhaps it was the presence of the university, which was so heavy with magic it lay like a cannonball on the incontinence blanket of the universe, stretching reality very thin. Ankh was where things started and finished. It was also his home, such as it was, and it called to him. It has already been indicated that Rincewind appeared to have a certain amount of rodent in his ancestry, and in times of stress he felt an overpowering urge to make a run for his burrow. He let the carpet drift for a while on the air currents, while Dawn, which Creosote would probably have referred to as pink-fingered, made a ring of fire around the edge of the disk. It spread its lazy light over a world that was subtly different. Rincewind blinked. There was a weird light. No, now he came to think about it, not weird, but weird, which was much weirder. It was like looking at the world through a heat haze, but a haze that had a sort of life of its own. It danced and stretched and gave more than a hint that it wasn't just an optical illusion, but that it was reality itself that was being tensed and distended, like a rubber balloon trying to contain too much gas. The wavering was greatest in the direction of Ankh-Morpork, where flashes and fountains of tortured air indicated that the struggle hadn't abated. A similar column hung over Al-Khali, and then Rincewind realised that it wasn't the only one. Wasn't that a tower over in Quirm, where the Circle Sea opened onto the Great Rim Ocean? And there were others. It had all gone critical. Wizardry was breaking up. Goodbye to the university, the levels, the orders. Deep in his heart, every wizard knew that the natural unit of wizardry was one wizard. The towers would multiply and fight until there was one tower left, and then the wizards would fight until there was one wizard. By then, he'd probably fight himself. The whole edifice that operated as the balance wheel of magic was falling to bits. Rincewind resented that, deeply. He'd never been any good at magic, but that wasn't the point. He knew where he fitted. It was right at the bottom, but at least he fitted. He could look up and see the whole delicate machine ticking away, gently browsing off the natural magic generated by the turning of the disc. All he had was nothing. But that was something, and now it had been taken away. Rincewind turned the carpet until it was facing the distant gleam that was Ankh-Morpork, which was a brilliant speck in the early morning light, and a part of his mind that wasn't doing anything else wondered why it was so bright. There also seemed to be a full moon, and even Rincewind, whose grasp of natural philosophy was pretty vague, was sure there had been one of those only the other day. Well, it didn't matter. He'd had enough. He wasn't going to try and understand anything any more. He was going home. Except that wizards can never go home. This is one of the ancient and deeply meaningful sayings about wizards, and it says something about most of them that they have never been able to work out what it means. Wizards aren't allowed to have wives, but they are allowed to have parents, and many of them go back to the old hometown for Hogswatch Night or Soul Cake Thursday for a bit of a sing-song and the heartwarming sight of all their boyhood bullies hurriedly avoiding them in the street. It's rather like the other saying they'd never been able to understand, which is that you can't cross the same river twice. Experiments with a long-legged wizard and a small river say you can cross the same river 30-35 times a minute. Wizards don't like philosophy very much. As far as they're concerned, one hand clapping makes a noise like cluh.